Hello, and welcome to the Talking Food with Bidfood podcast. I'm Ashley Hollidge, and on the menu for this episode, we'll be talking all about regenerative agriculture in 2024. To help me shine light on this topic, I'm delighted to be joined by my co-host for this episode, Sustainability Advisor at Bidfood, Valeria Potsanok. Welcome, Valeria.
Hi, Ashley.
To broaden our understanding of how this has revolutionised the way we think about farming and the environment, we'll be joined by two guests from Nestlé, who will be breaking down what regenerative agriculture is, deep diving into their relationship with farmers and all they're doing in this new world that we're all quite new to and we could do with a bit more information on. Now, Nestlé works with over 700,000 farmers globally and many more through their supply chain. So it's going to be really interesting to hear what they have to share about the world of regenerative agriculture. I'm excited to say that we are now joined by Kate Edley. Welcome, Kate. Can you share a bit about your role at Nestlé, please?
I work in the Nestlé professional side of Nestlé, working in our savoury food brands, specialising in our Maggi brand, but also really passionate about our garden gourmet plant-based brand. From a personal perspective, I love sustainability topics and regenerative agriculture in particular. So I'm really excited to share that insight that we've got and so everyone can learn a bit more about it.
And we're also joined by Katrina Harrison. Welcome, Katrina. Could you also tell me a bit about your role at Nestlé?
Yeah, my role is brand and activation lead across Nestlé Professional. So I manage all of our external communications and a number of our CSR initiatives, of which regenerative agriculture is obviously a key focus for us. Much like Kate, I'm incredibly passionate about sustainability and really regenerative agriculture is a topic very close to my heart as well.
Kate, the question on many of our listeners' lips is, what is regenerative agriculture? We've said it so many times, but it'd be great to hear what it actually is.
It sounds like it's a really new term, but actually it's absolutely not a new concept. It's a way and an approach of farming that works in partnership with nature. So some big things that are connected to it are related to soil health and soil fertility. And we'll talk a little bit more about why that's super important a bit later. It also incorporates how we can use and optimize our water resources and also boost biodiversity. It's about working in harmony with nature and the wonderful world that is, and whilst allowing the farms themselves to flourish. But there's no formal agreement of exactly what it means. And given the topics I just mentioned, you can understand that because there's lots of different concepts that are involved. But what's starting to happen with those that are involved in regenerative agriculture is that that everyone is starting to align against a certain number of principles around regenerative agriculture and always putting farmers at the heart of this topic. So the big pillars that are, it's soil health, making sure it's full of life. Now, a really healthy soil is full of microbes and fungus and a network of roots. And healthy soils are fantastic. They bring in carbon from the atmosphere. They boost the nutrients in the soil and therefore can help boost the nutrients in the plant. So soil health is really, really important. And on a completely personal note, I love growing vegetables myself. And I know how super important having a healthy soil is. So for anybody out there who's got a garden or an allotment, then I'm sure that you'll understand the importance of a healthy soil. Biodiversity is the second big one, and that's about making sure that there's plenty of birds, animals, and how and building the habitats and creating habitats for a wide diversity of animals and plants and nature to be in. An interesting one that some people don't know about, perhaps, is about how to bring livestock into perhaps crop farms. It's been done for hundreds of years, and we've perhaps lost that a little bit in recent years as we've specialised in certain crops. How can that be brought back into the farming world? Water is probably one that, and water management is probably not a surprise. And the last two really interconnect, and they are about making sure that it's farmer-centric, and Katrina will talk a little bit more about this later. But they're the experts. They're out there every day on their farms, and they really understand what's going on in their environments. And the second one linked to that is about context. Now, these principles are really fantastic, but they all can only be applied in different ways because of the nature of the farms. A dairy farm in North Yorkshire is obviously completely different to a cocoa or a coffee farm on the equator. So context is really important. And actually, even within small geographies, now the UK is not a large country, but even our country has different ecosystems and different farms. So that's why context and the farmer-centric is really, really super, super important. And a lot of this all comes back together about making sure that there's a holistic approach to farming. And the big thing, and I spoke about it right at the beginning, I sort of end this with this last topic, is about the soil. We want to make sure it's resilient. We want to make sure that the farms are resilient. That's because they absorb more emissions. Also, resilience is a word that we will start to talk a lot more about as we go into the future years. We know that climate change is sort of upon us. There's some fluctuations in weather patterns. We want to make sure that the farming and the farming communities are resilient to those changes and part of the solution as we go forward.
It's definitely something with a lot of layers. Thank you for giving such a great explanation.
Now, Kate mentioned there are several challenges to regenerative agriculture for businesses and farmers. And Katrina, what, in your opinion, are the main challenges to regenerative agriculture in Nestlé's experience so far? And what are the main lessons learned from those challenges in previous and current projects in the field?
One of the first challenges that most businesses will encounter is the short-term economic benefit. So my colleagues continually remind me that one of their toughest jobs is to remind everyone to be patient. Businesses tend to want an ROI of around 3 years or less, but we just can't do that with regenerative agriculture. On some farms, emissions can go up before they go down, and in the short term, yields can also decrease. So we really do need to take a long-term view when it comes to regenerative agriculture and keep reminding everybody of that, whether it's farmers or business or shareholders. It's a really long-term view. And this is also why we need to make the case to farmers really compelling, to give them the confidence that we will support them both in the short-term and the long-term to make that transition. I think the second key challenge is how we can collaborate more across the supply chain. We need to collaborate with our farmers within our supply chain to find best practices to reduce carbon, how they can benefit farmer and biodiversity to ensure we're all sharing the learnings to each other to accelerate initiatives that really do deliver the greatest result. When we talk about regenerative farming, we obviously look at the health of the soil, but we also need to look at the social impact that affect each farm too. And given our diverse portfolio, as Kate already alluded to, the challenges that we have in Brazil or Vietnam are going to be very different to the challenges that we have here in the UK, whether that's at a farm level or at a total ecosystem, looking at the social aspects. So it's just really a complex system to be working on. And this is why we focus on a number of key pillars, whether that be improving the soil health, protecting water resources. But we have to remember that regenerative agriculture, when it's rolled out, is done in a fashion that really has to be farmer-led. They know their land better than anyone else, so we really need to help them to roll out the initiatives in a way that really works for them. And I think that's been one of the key learnings. I can't emphasize enough how much we need to really collaborate and listen to our farmers to ensure they feel heard and have the confidence to make that transition.
So, Kate, Katrina mentioned supporting farmers, so it'd be great to hear your thoughts on why supporting farmers on their transition to regenerative agriculture is important for both the journey to net zero and the future of food service.
All food businesses, whether you're a business like ourselves, manufacturing, or you're an operator in the food service, if you look at your the emissions, as we kind of term the from farm to fork, when you look at the full value chain of emissions in particular, a significant amount will come from ingredients. Anywhere between 70 to 90% of the ingredients in our kind, in our industry will come from the ingredients. But that's similar across the industry, depending on slight variations, but that is a lot. So that's why we really need to focus on farming and the ingredients, but how we can help make that change and make that transition. Because they are out of our individual control. They're called scope three. So some people might have heard that term before. So scope three essentially means things that aren't in your operational control. Things that are, as an example of what you can control, your own fleet of vehicles, or the sites and the operations and the restaurants that you have. Are they things that you can control? But actually the ingredients, it is more difficult to control and understand how you can make a difference. That's why that point where Katrina was saying about collaboration and asking questions is just so super, super important. So I spoke about the fact that actually by working with farmers, we can help to reduce carbon emissions by drawing those emissions into the soil. Now, some of the reasons that's really important is to do with that word resilience that I mentioned before. A resilient farm, resilient crops, make sure that they are able to withstand crazy weather patterns. Now, that's super important because we've seen in the news, and you may have understood yourself, that the commodity prices, farming goods, are subject to fluctuations in price up and down. And sometimes you will hear in the news a certain crop has gone up in price because there's been some weather impacts. Now, regenerative agriculture is not the silver bullet of everything, but it will help to make these crops more resilient to these fluctuations in weather in the future. Now, when we talk about supporting farming, we understand that at Nestlé, and I'm hoping you're starting to understand as well as a wider industry, that we need to help that transition. Katrina mentioned that sometimes there are short-term negatives, and so persuading farmers to come on the journey with us can be challenging. So we need to offer support. So as Nestlé, we do that. Now, that is in a variety of different ways. It's technical, it can be financial, hands-on, sharing of knowledge globally and between farms. And because we have such a wide footprint, we're able to share the knowledge for different geographies, maybe on the same farming type, also the learnings between types of farming. So that's just starting to really come to fruition in our ecosystem. So what we've done and what we've committed is globally as a company, the Nestlé investing or will have invested by the end of 2025, 1.2 billion Swiss francs in this topic. Now that's a phenomenal number. I can't even get my head around it, but it just really demonstrates how important we believe this to be. So we're a food and beverage company. We rely heavily on our farmers for our success and ongoing business. So we've been in business 200 years. We want to be in business for another 200 years. So we need to make sure that we're working in partnership with our farmers to support that transition, to make them more resilient and reduce the emissions where we can in this really, really important part of the value chain.
Definitely. And it's so great to hear how much you prioritize the relationship with farmers in Nestlé. Valeria, do you have any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think Kate mentioned quite a few important points that we must remember that farmers are the stewards of our natural resources and that essentially they are feeding us all. But also they are in the highest risk area of exposure to climate change impacts. And we are essentially asking these farmers to change the farming methods they've been using for 20, 30, 40 years and essentially to change their livelihoods. So I think it is so important that they have the support of the big players like Nestlé to help farmers mitigate those risks that they might be facing, whether they are financial, environmental or social, and also help them have a smooth transition to regenerative farming. I think the point that I'm trying to make is that agriculture has a huge potential for carbon sequestration and nature restoration. And with the correct support and correct approach, it can be the greatest solution to net zero and food systems resilience. It would be great to hear a little more about how Nestlé Professional is working with farmers here in the UK and further abroad. Katrina, could you expand on this a bit more and give us a bit more insight from the farmer's perspective?
Yeah, absolutely. So here in the UK, one of our key ingredients we source here is milk. So up in the likes of Cumbria and Ayrshire, we work with an organisation called First Milk, and they're a farmer-owned dairy cooperative based up in Ayrshire and Cumbria. They partner with about 80 farmers who provide us with high-quality fresh milk. And our goal on that of First Milk is to lessen the environmental impact by improving the sustainability and efficiency of the supply chain. Each farmer essentially receives a sustainability bonus for taking practical measures that protect and enhance the natural assets on their land. And some of the examples include things like increasing the biodiversity of farmland, reducing single use and increasing recycled plastics. It can be anything from planting hedgerows, those sorts of initiatives to really increase the biodiversity, and also encouraging digital innovation, which could be utilising anything from cow monitors and other technology that really helps to provide the information and the environmental impact that we're making so we can track our progress. The scheme also focuses on the social aspect of agriculture. So we also incentivize school visits to help children better understand food, farming and the environment, because we think that's a really important factor as well. Children need to understand where their food's coming from. And if you look at school children today in terms of where they're heading in the future, very few of them will actively promote farming as a career choice. And that's something that we want to change as well. So we want to encourage more young people to come into farming, and also encouraging more women into the industry as well. And we have a number of initiatives that we promote to engage with those audiences. As a total plan in terms of the Nestlé Milk Plan, we're on track to reduce our emissions from milk sourcing here by 50% by 2026. From a farmer perspective, we'll only be able to tackle climate change and the future of food security if we work collaboratively with farmers. They're essentially the key to all of this. However, we have to remember that this is farmers' livelihoods. So as much as Valeria mentioned it a moment ago, we're fundamentally asking them to change their business, and that's a really big ask. We have to make sure that they have the confidence and the financial security, both in the short term and the long term, to be able to deliver the results we all need. And I think the way that we've been working with them in a really collaborative manner has enabled them to join us on a journey to become more regenerative. So it's not necessarily about us telling them what to do, but jointly working through the initiative, allowing them to go at their own pace and encouraging them to implement practices, which ultimately are win-win. And therefore, the end result is that they have embraced the whole concept in a really willing manner. Having spoken to one of the farmers during a recent trip up to Cumbria, it's really amazing to be able to hear firsthand the positive impact we're making at a farm level. It's clear that the investment through the Nestlé Milk Plan, the positive impact we're making to be able to allow our farmers to accelerate the transition that they need to make. The investment has allowed them to understand which of the initiatives are working for them and implement them at a greater pace than they would have been able to otherwise. And I think that as a result of that, we've been able to understand which of those initiatives are working, and we'll have been able to then accelerate those initiatives across other farms to have a stronger impact overall. It's hugely important for us to understand that in the short term, yield can go down. And so the implications for farms can be quite intense. So we need to make sure that they're really confident with that transition period to make sure that they have the confidence to make the changes that we all need.
Thank you for that. It's great to hear that all the work that Nestlé is doing to support the farmers. And also thank you for helping us paint a clearer picture on farmers' experience.
Now we have a better understanding of regenerative agriculture and the role Nestlé plays in supporting farmers on this journey, it would be great to hear more on this topic from a food service perspective. Valeria, is there anything organisations can do better when collaborating to move faster towards regenerative agriculture?
Now, certainly it is. And I think there are a few things actually that can be improved. Well, first of all, the first step should be to have a well-structured strategy that integrates regenerative practices into sourcing for those food service companies and businesses. The strategy should include ambitious commitments and seek out suppliers who are aligned to those commitments. And also, we've already discussed it a few times, it is very important to support the upskilling of suppliers who wish to improve their practices. I think in addition to empowering the suppliers, companies must equip their internal teams with the right training and with the right awareness and skills training, and giving them the right resources and learning materials to create that motivated and strong culture for sustainable transformation. And I think finally, it has been mentioned multiple times today, and it might sound quite trivial, but we should be doing better at collaborating, and we should be doing better at partnerships and building those like healthy partnerships between the companies and through different dimensions. Ultimately, we need to have a more bespoke partnership and collaboration in the field of regenerative farming with the farmers, food processors, the wholesalers, and finally the consumers and customers that we are facing. It is because it's very hard to drive change alone, and such a major food system transformation always requires a co-development of solutions.
Just to add to that, I think one of the most successful initiatives that we've implemented in helping both our internal teams and our customers to understand how we're driving towards regenerative agriculture is actually taking people out onto our farms. The topic of regenerative agriculture can seem incredibly complex when it's written down, and there's so much to try and take in. When you go out onto the farm and you see it really is taking things back to nature and trying to mimic nature in its natural form, it becomes so much easier to envisage what we're trying to achieve and how those initiatives are happening, whether that's seeing the hedgerows that have been planted, digging up patches of earth and counting earthworms. It's really basic things, but it really helps to come to life. And I think when people see it for themselves, that's almost like a light bulb moment of it. It really starts to help people to understand what we're trying to deliver.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you, Katrina, on this one. It can be quite a scary topic if you think about it without seeing it yourself. And, you know, just hearing the words regenerative agriculture, people can get quite confused as to what it actually means. But when they see it in practice on the farm, you know, something as simple as letting your livestock graze on the same field as you grow in your crops. And that's already considered regenerative agriculture practice. I think that opens loads of eyes and people take it a bit more easily.
Yeah, it just becomes so much easier to digest, doesn't it, in that format?
Exactly.
Valeria, could you share anything about what Bidfood customers and ultimately their consumers are asking for when it comes to regenerative agriculture?
Yeah, regenerative farming is definitely a very hot topic of its own at the moment. We see a huge growth in demand for information on the practices and regenerative farming in general, whether our suppliers are being involved in any of the practices and working on any of those farms. More and more customers and general public explore the benefits of regenerative agriculture and its role in nature restoration and carbon sequestration. So I think naturally they just have more and more questions to ask surrounding this issue. The questions being asked also often involve biodiversity, water management. So we really like to see that, because I think there is a narrative of regenerative farming only helping the carbon sequestration and, you know, having that carbon blind vision, the tunnel vision. So it's very important, and it is a good trend that we see in our customers' range, that they're asking not only about the carbon savings, but also biodiversity, water management, and farmer stewardship. I think customers and consumers are generally becoming more involved and aware about what they're eating and what food decisions they're making, which is definitely a good thing for a food service industry, because we're so highly customer driven.
It's great to hear how in touch consumers are when it comes to the environment and sustainability and ultimately regenerative agriculture and what they're looking for. So the Bidfood 2023 sustainability report has just come out. So what are Bidfood currently doing in the world of sustainability for 2024?
So we are continuing our progress on the food waste action and material waste action in general. One of the bigger targets that Bitfood has set up for themselves is carbon emission reduction and our journey to net zero. There is a big carbon labeling project coming up that Bitfood team are working on at the moment. And of course, we can't ignore the recent trends and shifts towards more holistic approach to sustainability. So we are investigating different opportunities in the areas of biodiversity, circular economy, and regenerative farming. Also, we're looking in the ways to engage with our employees, customers, and suppliers more and more. So don't worry, there will be a lot to cover in the future report.
Yeah, just some last thoughts from our side at Nestlé Professional. The one great thing that I'd like to talk about is how the conversation continues. What's really important is that people in the industry talk about these topics, that you listen to these kind of podcasts, you continue your learning. Maybe that's going on a farm. Maybe that's reading some more materials, asking questions, sharing, learning. That's how it's going to keep this topic alive and driving it forward into the future.
I think I'll wrap things up there then. But before I finish this episode, Katrina, Kate, thank you both so much for joining us on this episode. It's been great to have you.
Thanks. It's been great.
Thanks for having us.
And of course, Valeria, thank you for being such a fantastic co-host on your first episode on the podcast. I hope you enjoyed it.
I did very much. Thank you.
I hope you've enjoyed listening to all that our guests have to share about regenerative agriculture. It's really interesting to see the different layers that are within this world and all that they're doing with farmers and also behind the scenes that we might not even know about. If you're keen to learn more about regenerative agriculture, make sure to pop down to our show notes for more information. And we've also hosted a number of recent episodes on sustainability and food service, which you definitely don't want to miss out on. There's some really good stuff in there. Go to our podcast feed to find them. You won't miss them there. Thank you for joining us for this episode. If you enjoyed it and you're hungry for more, please make sure you follow us so you don't miss out on all our exciting episodes to come.